Well, this Sunday, the Skokie Doubletree by Hilton turns into a speakeasy. Well, a storytelling speakeasy. The show is called Israel, Many Voices, and it's stories from and of the land. It's a performance put on by several local Jewish organizations led by the Spertus Institute. The show will feature Jewish storytellers sharing their experiences with home and identity. Tonight, two performers are here in studio, Debbie Lewis and Michael Simon, two of the storytellers featured. The show on Sunday afternoon, it's 3:30 at the Doubletree by Hilton, which is the Northlight Theater, if you know that, right next to Old Orchard, right there in that 9599 Skokie Boulevard. Debbie, Michael, thanks for being here. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So let's talk about this show. I mean, doing a storyteller show, and there's plenty of them around town. You can see them everywhere. But talk about the idea of theming it really surrounding identity.
Sure. Well, what's interesting for us is that we are all, I think, amateur storytellers. Most, if not all of us, are doing this for the first time on a stage. So part of this was the whole thing of taking your identity and turning pieces of it into a story that you're going to share in community. And I think that the idea here was, in the Jewish community, Israel is such a complex and fraught topic, and a lot of times it's put into an idea that's black and white, but it's very personal for so many people, Jewish and non-Jewish. And here you have a chance with seven different people just sharing really diverse perspectives on Israel through their own stories.
Debbie, why'd you get involved?
Well, I was lucky enough to know a local Jewish storyteller named Susan Stone, who had heard me talk about my history with Israel and my connections, and suggested that I apply. I was excited to be accepted.
For you, for both of you, I mean, to talk about getting up on, it's one thing to have a personal story and to have a connection to Israel, but it's another to get up on stage in front of, you know, hundreds of people to tell that story in an entertaining type way. What do you have to do to take when we're going to talk about what you're going to perform, but what to take your story and ready it for an audience?
Well, we were lucky enough to get to work a couple of times with Scott Whitehair, who is a sort of well-known local storyteller and really great director, and helped us focus on, you know, telling what we already knew. Some of us had fastidiously written it all down, and helped us translate it into something that felt more natural and engaged closer with the audience that we'd be talking to.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting process because we have like a professor who gives lectures. You know, I run the Jewish Center Hillel at Northwestern, and I've given many talks. I've even given versions of my story in talks from paper, like in a speech.
Yeah.
But to turn it, you know, into a story that we've workshopped our stories. We've, you know, honed it into how we will connect, not just with a concept, but trying, as you said earlier, you know, we're trying to connect personally with each person in that audience. We're not going to maybe get that with every single person, with every story. But that honing process, I mean, I think it's been really fun and interesting for us to do it in partnership with each other and with Scott.
Yeah, I mean, I love the concept, because a show that is going to be about identity and really telling stories around that, I mean, you really do, in a way, I mean, you have to be able to tell that story in a way that's going to connect with the people in the audience. It's almost the best style or platform or discipline for this, because, you know, if you did a speech or a talk, that's a different kind of thing. This really leading with your heart when you're talking about home.
Absolutely. And I think for many of us, these are really emotional conversations that we might be having with this audience. Some of these stories are very sweet and heartwarming. Some of them are funny, but all of them come from a really deep personal place. And I think the sort of ad-libbed version of it, even though we've spent some time thinking about it, really helps make that a one moment and in the moment kind of experience for everyone.
The show on Sunday afternoon is called Israel, Many Voices, Stories from and of the Land. You know, as we mentioned, let's talk about the stories. I mean, both of you have personal stories or points of view on Israel and what it means to you. Why don't we start with Michael? What's your story going to be? Tell us a little bit about your story and what the premise is.
Sure. Well, so when I was 30 years old, or actually 29, fact checking, right? When I was
right off the bat,
when I was 29, I went to Israel for the first time. So I was a And I work with college-age students, and I work with them as they're grappling with their identity. And Israel had been in the mix for me. I grew up in a connected Jewish family, but it had never been. And going to Israel when I was almost 30, I thought I was going for 2 weeks to check it off the list, and then I can go back to the rest of my like secular life. And I worked in community development. I wasn't a Jewish professional, you know, in quotes. And there's a whole big story of how over the past, I guess it's now 16, 17 years, my entire life shifted to becoming a Jewish professional after 2 weeks that ended up then being a year, which became 2 years in Israel.
Really?
And so I, you know, I'll talk in my story, and I don't want to give, you know, the year I lived in Israel, that I will be telling my story around was 2001, 2002, which was the height of the Second Intifada. And I went there for what I thought was a year, became 2 years. And I fell in love with three things. And I can say that here. I fell in love with the land of Israel. I fell in love with Jewish learning, which I had never done in a significant way as a child, teen, or as an adult mm-hmm. until then. And I fell in love with a woman. And so my story that I'll be telling is that finding of love, losing love and finding love again.
You know, it's such an and it's I hear it all the time. I mean, from friends and people who've gone to Israel for the first time, and they especially Jewish people, when they go back and they have cathartic and religious experiences. I mean, to be in the homeland maybe for the first time. Maybe it wasn't their intention. They were going for a vacation, like you said, check it off the list. I mean, is it the same concept in your story, the idea that something changed in your life by just being in the Holy Land?
Yeah, I think, but I would hedge a little bit away from the religious and the Holy Land part of it. It happened to be for me that there was a context of Jewish learning going on in that, and that my own story had observance of religion that was part of it. But it's that core question of identity that I think really, for me, it was less about a connection to the Jewish religion or God, but it was of this like concept that our people has had some connection. And, you know, it's a very complex, fraught topic, but there's a connection over generations. And I hadn't tapped into that before. And so to be able to tap in and begin to see the richness of what that can mean to tap into that aspect of my identity, I think that probably is true for Debbie too, right?
Yeah, well, I had been to Israel several times and have been, but my story actually takes place for me entirely here in the United States. And it's interesting that Michael talked about how, you know, it being in Israel, and you said sometimes becomes the gateway into being more Jewish. But my story is more about my best friend who moved to Israel permanently with her husband about 15 years ago. And she is secular, atheist, but Jewish in maybe in quotes. And so our relationship takes place, I would say, about 95% over instant messenger on Facebook. I think for me, I feel very connected in a religious and spiritual way to the land. I'm not sure she does. It's a really interesting conversation.
Well, I mean, for both of the stories that you're going to tell, I mean, there is that contrast or that complexity when it comes to, yeah, like even the way I even sort of asked the question. I mean, I kind of said Holy Land or just sort of automatically sort of went to the religion. And there's so much more about the Jewish identity that's beyond just the religion or worshiping a god. It has to do with identity. It has to do with culture. And it has to do with sort of, I would say, connecting with the past.
Yeah, I would agree. That's my experience.
Beyond God,
of it.
Beyond all this stuff.
Oh yeah, for me, that's my experience of being there. I feel a sense of home, even though I've never lived there, and neither has anyone in my immediate family. But the feeling of being there is a feeling of settling in, for me. And I think it is the same for my friend who I'll be telling stories about, but not in any religious way, which is fascinating to me. She's a totally secular Jew living in a religious land, and I'm a somewhat more spiritual Jew living in an entirely secular world.
That's a good contrast.
Yeah, when I used to, a part of my story I won't tell, but I'll share with you here, is that I used to joke that at the time I went, it was right at the height of the X-Files, like the first round of the X-Files, you know, the good one, the original one. And there was this whole trope in that ongoing trope of people who had these like chips or something, and it was an alien, was a government, but they would get switched on, and then the people would have like a different way. And I joked that, you know, something got switched on in me that was lay dormant my entire life. And, you know, I think what's interesting for me is to be telling the story now, not 15 years ago, when it was a lot of, you know, very emotional and powerful and connected with one version of it. Because like you were saying earlier, it's so complex. You know, I work in the Jewish community where I'm helping to hold a vast diversity of perspectives on Israel. And that's just within the Jewish community. And then I have on a campus where Palestine, Israel is, mm-hmm. you know, a pretty fraught topic. And so my experience with Israel is mostly within Israel with Israeli Jews, but I've tried and begun educating myself about what it means for Palestinians to be living in the land and what their narrative is. And I think one of the interesting things, not to get political on this, is that storytelling, I mean, really is at the core of what it means for peoples to have narratives. I mean, narratives are made up of just mass numbers of, you know, stories coming together.
I think Americans and non-Jewish Americans, you know, it's always interesting to me because Israel will play out in two ways, political or religious. Mm-hmm. And there's not as much played to the social part of it. When I think of Israel, you know, it's a Western country. I mean, in the Middle East, it really is. I mean, it is. People don't think, you know, if you really, I mean, it can be as posh as New York City, and it can be as rural as Kansas. If you want, you know, it has that kind of diversity to it. Yeah. Do you think that the experience of Israel for non-Jewish Americans is too dumbed down, that it's too the idea that all we hear about is in headlines about which politicians support or don't support the political causes, or it gets wrapped up in religion?
I think that's true, but I think that's probably true for lots of places in the world that, you know, only make the headlines when something exciting happens in politics, right, or war. There are so many really fun things about Israel that have nothing to do with either of those things. And I mean, we could just talk about food for an hour. It's a really fun place to be, no matter sort of what your faith background is or even what your politics are. It's a neat place to visit.
And I think also that. And that's very true of, you know, you could say any place in the world, especially yeah. places of conflict. But what, you know, there are people living within that land and place, and they have their day-to-day lives. And their day-to-day lives, you know, are connected with this broader, you know, politics and religion, but they're also about, you know, going to take their kids to school and what it, you know, and worrying, you know, at the end of the day, they are also building their own stories. And so the interesting thing for us, I think, is why, you know, why as Jews do we, if we're Jewish, do we have potentially a connection to Israel, even if that connection is one that is not a tight one.
Yeah.
And I think for non-Jews, I mean, it is fascinating in our country that it becomes such a, you know, an outsized part of the conversation. And I think it has a little bit to do with what you're saying in terms of a Western, you know, country or Western looking and feeling country inside of the Middle East.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of similar like values that were kind of woven into the building up of the country. And then also that it's in conflict. And so being in conflict drives news.
As both of you being part of the Jewish community here in the area, in Chicago area, do you see a desire from Chicagoans, Jewish Chicagoans, to go to Israel? Overwhelmed? Is it sort of like a bucket list kind of thing where they're like, I have to do it at one point in my life? Because I don't think a lot of people maybe don't have those generational connections anymore. As more and more generations are here in the United States and don't necessarily have relatives back in Israel. Talk about that complexity of whether or not they truly feel like they need to go back.
I do think that it's for the generation older than mine and my parents who are in their 70s, that was definitely a bucket list item. And for mine, probably. And for younger than me, I think Michael's probably better equipped to answer that question. I will say that there's no doubt in my mind that I'll send my children on youth trips to Israel.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting because it is easier than ever, you know, ever in history to travel, you know, thousands of miles, you know, anywhere in the world. And so it's easier, you know, programs in the Jewish community like Birthright have, you're familiar with Birthright, which sends 18 to 26 year olds on a, you know, basically a free trip to Israel from the Jewish community. What I've found is that students are not all just signing up and saying, hey, you know, I'm supposed to go there. I think the politics has become complicated and makes it not always just this obvious, like, I'm going.
Yeah.
But also that the there is a sense of, you know, well, I could go there. I mean, it's kind of an amazing thing. I could kind of go there any time, so I don't have to go right now. I think I also have an interesting window because we're both involved in the – obviously involved enough that we signed on to a program that's being sponsored by Jewish organizations. And there's lots and lots of, I think, Jewish people who are not connected. And I see that on the campus in terms of the students that I know and several hundred who will go over the course of their time to Israel from Northwestern. But there's also those who – for whatever reason, at least right now, it isn't part of what, and traveling there isn't part of what is particularly meaningful to them.
Well, the stories will be on display, the contrasts, the complexities, identity, culture, and home. Israel, many voices, stories from and of the land. It's a performance of stories that is going to be featured on Sunday afternoon at the Skokie Doubletree by Hilton at 9599 Skokie Boulevard in Skokie, again, 3:30 in the afternoon. Debbie Lewis and Michael Simon will be two of the performers of the seven. You said there's seven performers on Sunday afternoon, and they were my guests tonight. Debbie, Michael, thanks so much for being here on The Download. Appreciate it.
Thank you.